Full Service Radio is supported by Compass, the future of real estate in the Metro DC area and beyond. Discover more at compass.com.
You're tuned into Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio. At the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, you're listening to The Tidbit, brought to you by Curate. I'm your host and the CEO of Curate, Kim Bryden. Do you run a small business or have dreams to start one? Well, here at The Tidbit, we've got your back. Each week, we talk through tidbits of knowledge around starting or running a small business with a food and beverage lens. This show is based on a bi-weekly newsletter that we send out at Curate called The Tidbit. And in it, we discuss what we're reading, eating, drinking, listening to, and learning. Five quick morsels of information to get you in the know and on top of your game. So if you're eager to learn more tidbits of knowledge about the food and beverage industry, starting or growing a business, or even entrepreneurship lessons learned, sign up today. We have Ascend coming out next week, so head over to curateconnect.com and sign up in the footer. That is CUREATEconnect.com. In honor of Mother's Day this past weekend and just celebrating maternal love in general, I would really like to talk about family. And specifically, I want to talk about family and the intersection of business. Look, people start businesses for many, many reasons. But personally, I have in part started Curate because I want to build a life that works for present and future Kim. Especially Kim as a mom. And if there's one thing I know to be true, it's that I will be a mom and I want to make sure I'm creating a lifestyle that allows me to be the best mom and business owner that I can be. And one of my dear friends, Sarah Peck, she's the executive director of Startup Pregnant, a website and podcast that rethinks what work and leadership looks like. I can't even tell you how frequently I recommend Startup Pregnant to anyone who is currently a parent or thinking of becoming one. And I'm not just talking about women either. Recently, Sarah wrote an article for Inc. titled Five Important Leadership Lessons You Learn from Being a Parent. And I'd like to share a few of these points with you. I'll link over on the Curate blog for the full article. That's curate.co/blog. But point number one, you can pace yourself and take the long view. Seriously though, how often are we so focused on quarterly returns, month over month growth? Take a step back, realize things take time. And side note, I just listened to How I Built This Panera Bread, Au Bon Pan. Did you know they are the same company? I didn't, so you should listen to it. And really important, listen, especially if this first point of you can pace yourself and take the long view is resonating with you, I highly recommend it. Next point she makes is you're not afraid of saying no and repeating yourself. I mean, super fascinating point. I mean, you do not have time to mess around anymore. A friend said to me once that they'll only work with and for business owners who have families because they're decisive and intentional. And what an incredible sort of antithetical view from what is currently highlighted. Work all the time, 80-hour week, the Silicon Valley, you know, both reality and the TV show, companies started by 20-something white males. You know, I think really important for us to sort of reframe what it means to have a sustainable business. And the last point I'll share from this article is, you know how to stay flexible and agile. And I don't need to belabor this point anymore because I'm pretty sure every episode of The Tidbit, we've discussed the importance of developing an agile growth mindset. So if you want to know more about that, make sure you check out our last two episodes in particular. And how will you do that? Well, subscribe in iTunes, of course. So make sure you get on that today. And sort of close this part, you know, Sarah begins the article stating, I've interviewed hundreds of entrepreneurial parents, and there's one consistent theme I keep hearing. how much the jump off the deep dive into parenting readied them for business challenges in a way they didn't first expect. In fact, of the many skills they gain are completely in line with what entrepreneurship asks of us. And isn't this what sort of work-life integration sounds like? We always talk about work-life balance. I actually don't think that there's balance at all. It's just sort of a blend altogether. It's just life. So how can we prepare ourselves as business owners or even train our employees to bring skill sets from all areas of life? And today, we're sitting down in studio with Deborah House, VP of Culinary Enterprises at Humanum, a human services and workforce development nonprofit in Baltimore. And Deborah has been a long friend, mentor, and colleague of mine, and I'm really excited to have her in studio to hear her lessons learned around management, job training, and the influence of growing a family and business simultaneously. We'll take a quick break and be right back with Deborah. Deborah, welcome to The Tidbit.
Hi, Kim. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, this is fantastic. I mean, over the years that we've known each other, your background has spanned from urban planning to sustainable food systems with a particular focus on seafood, which is fascinating, to packaging and branding for emerging food startups. And now you oversee two culinary social enterprises at Humanum, City Seeds and School of Food. And I would say that all of your past experiences have led you to this moment in time, even if while you're in it, it may have seemed like a zigzagging path and not always a straight line. And I think this happens with a lot of entrepreneurs. And I'm wondering if you can talk more about this and how you've been able to transfer skills from one role to the next.
Sure. That's a good question. So my career has included a variety of opportunities.
For sure.
Where I can most importantly envision the end result, map out what needs to be accomplished, and hit goals from financial and more so now with my current job, social impact. Mm. In my experiences, I glean as much as I can from my colleagues, partners. I also try to recall as many of the challenges that I've come across and use that experience to help me change how I act in either a current or future situation.
So even if it wasn't necessarily directly applicable, you're still taking those lessons learned from one role into the next.
Correct. Mm-hmm. In my consulting business that I had before doing what I'm currently doing, with Humanum. Mm-hmm. I worked very closely with an incredibly talented designer, and she was thoughtful. And while I can be described as fast-paced and aggressive, her thoughtfulness resulted in time. And in consulting, as you probably know, time is money. And if you start to miss deadlines, that's, you know, losing money.
For sure.
So at City Seeds and School of Food, I've learned to find a blend of thoughtfulness and hitting deadlines by also recognizing priorities. That's just a lessons learned.
Mm-hmm. And how do you even begin to tackle that process? I mean, all of us have so many different priorities, it seems, at any given day. How do you possibly rank what is the most important thing to tackle?
A partner of ours from American Communities Trust, the executive director, China, she told me at some point, a girlfriend of hers said, every day start off with three things that you must accomplish. And whatever happens throughout your day, you have those three things that you set in your mind at the beginning of the day, and those are the things that no matter what you have to accomplish. And as a result, I think I've kept that. So those three things to me are priorities, and oftentimes I make sure that the priorities are bringing in money or bringing in new opportunities. And that's sort of how I try to structure my day.
Yeah, absolutely. And I too try to subscribe to that notion. And then when I accomplish those three things, I'm like, wait, do I have a break now? Do I keep working? You know, the entrepreneurship mindset. Got to keep hustling. We are sitting here with Deborah Haust, VP of Culinary Social Enterprises at Humanum. And Humanum's main mission is to create jobs. I mean, especially for those with barriers to entry for employment. And so in your role as vice president of this very rapidly growing social enterprise division, how do you create management structures that allow for employee empowerment? And to sort of dive into that a bit more on the workforce development side, you've created a job training scorecard that does create this structure around employee empowerment and skills learned. So tell us a bit more about that, because I know a lot of our listeners are constantly struggling with hiring. And how do you create agency and ownership in your employees?
Okay. So I'll tackle management structures that allow for employee empowerment.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And then I'll get into the scorecard.
Perfect.
So employee empowerment is extremely important. It's going to help our social impact business grow quickly. Mm. And it's going to ensure our team of economically rising men and women can keep getting promoted within the hospitality sector. There are three ways that I'm doing this. One is actually through a technology platform that you recommended to us called Slack.
Slack is amazing.
It's an instant messaging tool that we're using on a daily basis. It makes everybody on our team available to bounce ideas off of, keeping us all creative and engaged.
Mm-hmm. It provides transparency too.
It does.
Yeah.
And then the second is being the opposite of a micromanager. So my team's constantly encouraged to try new things and lead the way for their teams. And I am doing this by example. Mm-hmm. So if I lead by not being a micromanager, the idea is that my managers also lead by not being micromanagers. And then the third is in enabling a lot of rope for mistakes to happen. Mm. So I encourage failure. Yesterday I shared an article that was in Inc. as well about how Google employees are recognizing failure and learning from it. I shared this through a public channel on Slack. Because I think it lets everyone at City Seeds and School of Food know that if we don't try, if we don't take calculated risk, we don't know.
Sure. And do you think that employees are feeling inspired and enabled to take those calculated risks because that you've created this framework? You've been creating this framework of them, whether it is demoing your products at an event or trying out a new concept, you've been able to say, great, test it, and let's have the feedback. What are those sort of checks and balances you've been putting in place?
A question I often ask my operations manager, Melanie Folds, is, what do you think? Mm. So she'll come to me with a dilemma and, you know, look for me to provide her with advice or a solution. And I very quickly turn it around and get her suggestion first. More so because if I provide that input first, I'm concerned that she'll take whatever I say and do that. And that's not helping her grow or helping her make a potential mistake and you know, recognizing that we can also learn from that and do it differently.
Definitely developing that critical thinking. Mm-hmm. 100%. So one of the skills that I really admire about you is the ability to delegate and allow for team members to take those calculated risks like we're talking about. So how did you actually cultivate this trait of yours? Because this is something I think a lot of people get very scared to do, is put that amount of trust and delegation into somebody else. And is there a way our listener can sort of develop that habit as well so their employees have ownership? I mean, what are the, besides asking, you know, what do you think, is there a way in which you can guide someone to a conclusion that maybe you already did have in your brain, but they're able to sort of come to that end result on their own?
Yes. Okay. So I have recognized that not enabling the team to do or be and create result will mean that we don't grow and we're not going to grow quickly. So to grow and grow quickly, it does really take a village. And
isn't there a quote about that? Like together, move faster. Oh my gosh, I'm losing it. I'll find the quote and I'm going to link to it in the blog, but keep going.
So the City Seeds and School Food team are smart and motivated individuals who do think outside the box. Mm-hmm. I've recently learned that scenarios help describe what I'd like to see in a particular outcome. Mm. I tend to explain what the goal is versus what they need to do to achieve that goal. I think I did the latter often at the beginning, more so because I was very used to doing everything on my own. But to have that help and to have that help be empowered has allowed us to make the biggest social impact that we possibly could have at this point. Mm-hmm. And, you know, have only been doing this for a few years. So it says a lot.
Do you have an example of what that might look like? So what is that end goal that you might have told the team you wanted to achieve, and then they brainstorm creative pathways in order to achieve that goal?
I can use an example from a meeting yesterday that I had with our chef, Aharon Denrich. It was a meeting where really we designate about an hour to be creative in thought, to keep the food that we're putting out there for our customers at a level that's always a step above what we're doing today. Mm. So at some point in the meeting, he was talking about how our customers are really corporate clientele, and we're delivering menu items for a boardroom meeting at lunchtime. That menu looks like sandwiches, salads, more often than not. But the food that he really loves to make is so beyond that. So I had, you know, was hoping that the outcome would be, you know, let's create an event where we could really do something wonderful and provide our guests with this experience, this culinary experience. And by creating, I'm looking for a way to, how would we get the food? I asked him, how would we get the food, you know, that kind of food out there? Like, how would we let people know this is what we want? You know, what does that look like, feel like, taste like? And he created this idea of dinner in the woods. So we're now looking at booking a national park sometime this summer to allow him to be extremely creative in his food offerings and invite, you know, 20 or so guests to have this incredible dinner in the woods.
Which is incredible because I know that specifically in the corporate environment, the amount of time people put into team building and retreats and, yeah, corporate team building at large is, people are looking for a new way to inspire and engage their employees, hence the topic of our conversation. And you being able to provide not just the food, but the whole experience. Fascinating. Mm-hmm. That was really cool. We're going to take a quick break here, and we're sitting down with Deborah House, VP of Culinary Social Enterprises at Humanum. And after the break, we are going to talk about that work-life blend between parenthood and entrepreneurship. We'll be right back.
Full Service Radio is supported by Compass. Discover Compass, America's first modern real estate company. By pairing the industry's top agents with technology, Compass delivers an incomparable client experience from the first-time buyer to the seasoned seller. Visit them today in DC, Maryland, and Virginia, or navigate compass.com day or night.
We're here on the Tidbit with Deborah House, VP of Culinary Enterprises at Humanum. In the Tidbit, we often, in this second segment here, or third segment, should I say, talk about the how-tos, the tips and tricks of running and starting a business. And so I failed to circle back, Deborah, on the job scorecard, which I think is so important that we discuss, because this is something crucial, again, I think, for hiring and empowering employees. So we had asked, in the last segment, you've created this job training scorecard that creates more structure around hiring at City Seeds. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Sure. The job training scorecard is a deeper dive in terms of how we look at the progress of our team. It enables us to track our social impact by looking at the success of our team and recognizing where we fall short. Mm. The scorecard is actually an iteration from LA Rise, another social impact business.
LA Rise.
Mm. Yeah. You can link.
Yeah, I'm going to link to it.
So we learned from our last analysis that our team wasn't performing in effective communication or conflict mitigation all within the workplace. And as a result, we just implemented a training last week with Humanum's Human Resources Department that focused on those two subjects in hopes that we could train our team. And it was great. It resulted in a very open conversation around what to do when your supervisor may be guiding you in a way that doesn't feel authentic, and how to react in a way that's professional. Mm-hmm. So I think the scorecard is really an extremely useful tool, but as with all tools, you need to make sure that it works for your business, your model, which is why we've tweaked that specific iteration for ourselves.
It's creating that check and balance and opportunity for you to be reflective.
Correct.
To see where everybody's at. Because right. I'm sure even with that specific example around effective communication, I'm sure each team member has a different style of communication that may or may not jive with the other team members at the table. And so having that moment to reflect and really be like, oh, this is an area of opportunity for growth. How can we create a solution? This scorecard seems to enable you to do that, which is really awesome. One of the tools I like to use as well is called Gallup Strengths Finder. And it's a quiz that you can take online that outlines your core strengths. And by you taking it yourself and then also empowering your employees to also take this Strengths Finder quiz, you can see where each of you has the natural and inherent ability to lead, as opposed to saying like, this is what you do wrong, or these are the areas you need to improve. It's instead leaning into the strengths you already have and possess. So it's just a different tool of scorecard and measurement and sort of checking in with the way people learn and the way people work in the workplace.
Yeah. And it also allows with the system that we're using, it allows us to put a metric on where we're currently at, and then it allows us to reflect on how far we've come. Mm. And with some of our staff, if they hit an 85% at that point, we realize like, okay, if there's not a place for them to move up within, it's really a time for them to be looking for employment opportunities with some of our external partners. Mm-hmm. And so we're actually in that stage right now with two employees.
Oh, fantastic. I mean, on this whole front around team building and facilitation, which it seems like you guys have really started creating spaces for your employees to, again, have these moments together. I have been reading a lot of articles on this topic as well recently, and I wanted to ask you one of the icebreaker questions that I came across. Tell me about something you love doing that you're terrible at, and tell me about something you really do not like doing that you're great at.
Okay. So I love, we talked about this actually 2 seconds ago when I posted the boomerang story on City Seeds
on Instagram.
I love social media, But I'm actually not even on Facebook or Instagram. And I really don't like project management, but I think I'm pretty good at it.
Yeah. And I think it's also about, thank you for sharing that. And I think this is a really interesting icebreaker question, especially in team building and development with communication styles, because you may want to keep enforcing the skill set that somebody's good at, but they don't like doing it. And so then therefore they feel angsty and bitter about showing up to work because they actually may not like it, but that is the thing they're good at. And right. So it's also that mix or blend of what is the thing that they may love doing that they're not great at yet, but how to cultivate and inspire that skill set. So maybe we should have a whole social media workshop together. So part of at Humanum, under Deborah's Culinary Social Enterprise Division, there's City Seeds, which we've been talking about, a catering and wholesale arm. And then there's also School of Food, which is both an entrepreneurship curriculum series that I've been had the pleasure of working with Humanum on for about 3 years now. And then also School of Food just launched a culinary curriculum and a culinary class side. Can you tell us more about that?
Sure. Our cooking classes are available for the public, and we're looking at ways to differentiate ourselves from other cooking schools in Baltimore City. This month we have Molecular Gastronomy, a make your own ice cream, partnering with an incredible ice cream maker that's also a social impact business in the city called Taharka Brothers. And it's also a way for us to engage with the general public and allow them to come into our kitchen and see for themselves what we're up to.
Amazing. Yeah. And I think part of creating that space in the kitchen is not just for having the public come into the classes, but also to create those experiences we were alluding to earlier, not just for corporate teams, but maybe even for parents and kids someday. Right. I know that that's near and dear to your heart. I mean, and perfect segue, Kim. We started the show talking about how being a parent teaches you a lot of lessons for running a business and, you know, vice versa. Running a business helps you become a better parent, perhaps, and being a parent helps you run a better business. And so, you know, I want to be a mom, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners are currently parents or want to be. And so I want to know if you can share three moments in time that being a parent and or business owner has helped in teaching you a lesson that has transferred to the other side of your life.
Three, coming up with just three is really hard because I think there is a lot.
Happens constantly.
So being a parent helps me, and you talked about this earlier, focus. Being in the moment when you have the moment. Time is so precious. And for me, one of the things that I do now, and I never really did it before, is ensure that there's always an agenda. Unless the meeting is like a creative brainstorm. And then, you know, it's stated at the beginning, this is like a free-flowing, let the ideas come type of meeting. The second thing is staying flexible and evolving. The business can change. And through parenting, I've learned to be very adaptable. I may Saturday comes along and I'm like, okay, we're going to go to the park with the kids. And then one thing leads to another. And, you know, we don't even get out of the house to get to the park. And then someone has to go down for a nap. And so it's just like, okay, we're not going to go to the park. But
then it starts raining.
Yeah.
Someone fell down the stairs.
Really? So I think staying flexible is something that you have to do as a parent. And in business, it's been extremely helpful to have that skill, especially with a startup. And then the third thing is slowing down. So I have three children under five, and my almost five-year-old in September went to pre-K at a big, as we put it, a big boys school. And, you know, that experience was heart breaking in a way. And I just looked at him going off with his backpack and being like, when did that happen? Because I remember him being so little. And everyone always says that. They grow up so fast. And I remember thinking, not fast enough. But this time I was just like, wait a minute. So with business too, I think it's really important to take a moment and appreciate where we're at, what we've achieved, and where we can still go. So really, you know, stop and take that moment.
I cannot agree more, and I don't think we emphasize it enough, being the importance of slowing down. Mm-hmm. I feel like busy tends to be an excuse people use to not be reflective or to not make crucial, important life decisions, always under the guise of like, I'm busy or I'm too busy, to actually stop and realize all of these moving parts of one's life. And like we mentioned at the top of the show, taking the long view is so important. I mean, especially when you're raising humans, it's like the ultimate startup, the ultimate co-creation with somebody else. I mean, you have to think about it, what's happening now and how it's going to impact that small human, you know, later in life. It's the ultimate taking the long view, and how important it is to bring that sort of scope and level of thinking to business as well.
Agreed.
The feminine energy needs to come back into the business world. I am saying it here. So how can people find out about City Seeds and School of Food?
They can find out about City Seeds and School of Food by going to our websites, cityseeds.org and schooloffood.org.
Awesome. And both are on Instagram too, at cityseeds.org and at SOFBmore.
Correct. And you can see the boomerang post.
Amazing. Tune into the story. Well, thank you so much for being in studio with us today, Deborah. And I'd love to hear from you, listener. Leave us a comment on, again, through our website, curate.co. Leave a comment on the blog. Or, you know, like I mentioned earlier, if you want to tune in to previous episodes, head over to iTunes, and we would love it if you left us a review. So until next time, remember to scale thoughtfully and source locally.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening. All right, that live show just finished here on Full Service Radio at the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Stick with us. We'll be right back with some more live programming soon.